Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with the Director of Family Services for the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Chris, my friend, good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
You know, I'm hanging in there over here. How about yourself?
I'm always good. Life is always good.
I am so envious.
I'm blessed, and you know what? To talk about it, just about the fact that I am.
Well, I like to hear
And it's the little things, too, you know? I'm not talking about big stuff, just the little things.
Yeah, but you know what? It's usually the little things.
Oh, my gosh. Small stuff, you know? Just the look on your grandchild's face when they smile at you, you know? Things like that. I mean, it's just awesome.
How was your week?
Week was good. It's busy as usual. We've got a lot of good things going on at the association. We're constantly evolving this organization into something that, you know, makes sense for families of the Archdiocese. So there's always a lot to do, and there's a lot to look at, and you know, one of the great blessings of being able to spend time with you every Saturday is to let the families know that, you know, we're just not sitting around. We're trying to do things really well so that we can provide the best possible service to them.
When a family makes or a family member makes an appointment, they're able to go in the building now, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And more than just one at a time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's loosened up, you know, quite a bit. So, I mean, we let usually families come in with two family members. I think recently someone came in with three or four, and, you know, they came in with masks, which is fine. So the FSA put on their masks, family service advisor. At this stage, we've kind of left it up to them that, you know, if your family's wearing a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. You know, it's up to you. You don't have to, but out of courtesy, if they're wearing one, you should kind of wear one just to, you know, make them feel good. But people that are working in the main office area don't have to wear them now. So it's kind of nice, you know. I know that there's been some changes in some cities in the state because of some increasing numbers that people have been concerned about. So there's been some state or city buildings that if you go into, you have to wear a mask now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that all works.
I think that's earlier, or the middle of the week, I think.
Yeah, something earlier in the week about it. And I know, I think it was the city of New Haven,
Hartford,
the city
too.
Of Hartford, yeah. City of Stamford is going to jump or just jumped on board. I don't know.
So how do churches fit into that equation?
Yeah, it's interesting. I go to church this Sunday and there's the sign on the door. You must wear a mask, vaccinated or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so they made a change. So I was like, okay, well, there we go. Let's throw on a mask. Unfortunately, I got so used to not wearing one, I had to run back to the car and see if I had one.
Right.
So that actually made me feel good. See, that was another little blessing, thing to be thankful for. I don't have to have one in my pocket anymore, although maybe we'll have to wear some again. I don't know.
I hope it doesn't get to that point.
Yeah, me neither. You know, the mask thing really never bothered me.
No, but the churches took it on the chin last summer.
Well, the churches, that's a whole different story. My personal opinion, this is strictly me speaking, not as a representative of the association.
Oh, then maybe do you want to divulge this then?
No, it's fine. I mean, look, I am who I am. I'm not going to hide that. I personally think it was a mistake to do that. But that's, you know, you have to also look at the bigger picture. And, you know, I'm just one individual. So one individual, we all have opinions and we know where that goes sometimes. So I just, in my own personal opinion, I thought it would have been nice that if we were able to stay open and try and do things in a manner where people could still come in, receive the sacraments. Mm. But you know what? I think it worked out fine, kind of, you know, because of all the availability of online masses. And I love some of the parking lot masses.
Oh, yeah.
The drive-through confessions. It was like the coolest thing, actually. Some of these things that, you know, some of the pastors were very innovative.
Yeah, to think outside the box here.
To try and bring the sacraments to the population. So I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed a lot of that.
You know, it made me wonder, though, did you get just as much of an effect from online would people be watching online? I'm trying to think what's the word I'm looking for.
The same holiness level, I guess, you think? I know. It's a little different.
They get as much out of it by watching it on their computer than they would have in person. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Well, no, I think that is a good way to put it. But I also think that it depends on what your personal reverence is for the Mass to start with. So if you go to Mass, you kind of just go through the motions. You know, kneel, okay, stand up, okay. Mm. You know, say the prayer, kneel, sit, stand up. Say the prayer. Kneel. Sit. But if you're going to the Mass because you want to participate and listen to what the Word is telling you, you know, theoretically, when the Word, liturgy of the Word is proclaimed, everybody hears something different. And it's because it's the Bible is written by God, so you hear what is meant for you to hear, whatever little part of that may be. It's fascinating, too. Have a conversation with somebody when you finish Mass someday. What'd you think of the reading? Which one? Oh, the Gospel. Oh, I thought it was blah, 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 blah. And you sit there and go, wow, I got this totally different. Ooh. To me, it was blah, 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 blah.
And there's no right or wrong.
And there's no right or wrong because it's strictly what how it touches you. So, but getting back to the issue that you mentioned, I think that I really enjoyed the online Masses. I missed the reception of the sacraments, but I really enjoyed the Mass because I treated it, I think, the same way as I do when I go to church.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to be reverent. I know that sometimes you all of a sudden there's a phone call and you want to reach for the phone, but you go, I didn't do this in church, so I'm not going to do it now, you know?
Wow, that's restraint.
Well, and it's like, you know, okay, do you kneel during the consecration? Well, yeah, I did, you know? Why? Because that's what we do. So I kind of felt like, again, just trying to do it like as if I was in a sacred place and trying to do things the correct way.
Chris, I'm curious, though, were tithings down?
I don't know the specifics, but my guess is they must have been.
Yeah, I would imagine.
You know, I was really happy years ago when they instituted the automatic credit card payments, because for me, that made it so much easier. Yeah. You just sign up and you know that, you know, you're donation's going to go every week and you don't have to worry about it. And if you go on vacation, you know you're still supporting your local parish, which is nice. And, you know, maybe you contribute to whatever church you happen to be visiting. So, but I'm almost sure that there has been a financial impact to all of the churches because of what the pandemic cost.
This morning I thought, and I have a few questions, but I think they're going to take quite an explanation. So I hope you don't mind. I thought we'd spend a little bit of time on Mary, and I know that we've had discussions in the past.
Hey, it's one of my favorite subjects.
Oh, good. And we've had discussions in the past about holy days of obligation, their meaning. The individual observances. And I know tomorrow, which is why I kind of wanted to talk about this morning, tomorrow is one of such days. It's the observance of the Assumption of Our Lady, Mary, body and soul into heaven. Now, and this is not just simply the Assumption of Mary's body into heaven. I mean, the true meaning is rather complex, and I know that, and it represents the existence of our salvation, and I know that too. But I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about, maybe lend some guidance as to where there is biblical reference to this holy day.
So that's not a simple question. So
that's why I said I only have a few questions, but they're rather complex.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of the first part, the Assumption of Our Lady into heaven, body and soul, that's actually one of the glorious mysteries, and it's an amazing observance, because Mary was not allowed to be corrupted, as we are when we die. The same as when Jesus died, and he rose from the dead. God did not allow his son to be corrupted, meaning having his body, you know, placed into the soil and going through the process of decay. And I think that if we look at it, it makes complete sense as to why that would happen, because Mary was the vessel of the birth of humanity for Jesus. So here we had the man God being born as a human. And if we look at Mary as the vessel of that humanity, it would make sense that God would not want her to be corrupted either. And remember, we talked about, I don't know how long ago back, we talked about the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which many people always think that that has to do with Mary being having Jesus, you know, without anything. Yet it deals with Mary's parents.
Right.
So it was she that was the Immaculate Conception. It was she who was born without sin.
Because she bore Mary.
No, it was.
I'm talking about Mary's mother.
No, yes, but it was Mary who was born without sin. And the stain of original sin, which goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and what happened between Adam, Eve, and God, and that's where original sin was originated. So she was born without original sin. So from the moment of her conception, the Immaculate Conception, she was pure. She lived her life purely, never committed a sin. So that's the phenomenal side of who Mary actually was, because the only other person that ever existed that was like that was Jesus. Okay, so it made sense that when she died, she would be assumed directly into heaven, and she was. And it's not like this people didn't see this, because she actually physically died on earth in the presence of the apostles, of those that were left at the time. Because, as you know, most of the apostles suffered deaths of martyrs, with the exception of the beloved John, who died of natural causes in the island of Patmos. But they almost all were martyred. So the few that were left, and it was Peter's house, I believe, that Mary actually died in. And she was assumed body and soul into heaven. So that makes sense. Okay. And if you're that's kind of the first part of what you talked about. The mm-hmm. second part is a lot more complicated, because he's talking about the true meaning and how complex it is, and it represents the existence of our salvation. If you go back in biblical history, you'll hear something talked about a lot called the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant was the the holy place where the tablets that contained the original commandments were, the chalice that supposedly Christ drank from. Anyway, this is before even Christ's birth. So the Ark of the Covenant had these very, very holy things in it. And it was highly revered and highly guarded and sought after. But there's more than the item, the physical item itself, because the Ark was the symbol of the faith that existed for the Jews. Okay, this was their God in present form to them, similar to how we as Catholics see God in the Eucharist at every church, in the tabernacle. That same level of experience is what this applied to. With Christ being born on earth and then dying and rising from the dead, he was considered the new Ark of the Covenant, or the new Adam, okay? And actually, Mary was considered the vessel, the modern Ark of the Covenant, which brought God into the world. So you see, there's a complexity there that if you don't think about these things often, it's kind of confusing. But so the original Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God on earth to the Jews, and Mary, as the new Ark of the Covenant, was the symbol of God on earth to humanity. And because she was the vessel. She was the vessel that brought God to people. So it's kind of complex, but it's also fascinating to me. And you talked about biblical references. There's so many that go back throughout the Old Testament that are kind of the precursors, or the little hints, you know, that tell you there's something coming down the road, which was fulfilled in the New Testament, which is after the birth of Christ and Christ's death. So there's many. And in particular, when we talk about Mary, we talk about the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, which is a prophetic book, and it talks about all the things that may or may not happen in the future. But one big part of that was that Mary was seen in a vision as being clothed beautifully yet pregnant, and had a crown of 12 stars around her, okay, and a red dragon snapping at her. And the vision, this is John, blessed Apostle John, who had this vision and wrote this all down in the book of Revelation, that it was this dragon was waiting to devour the child when the child was born. So in the book of Revelation, it tells you that Mary was whisked away and prevented from, you know, being exposed to this. Well, that's the complete understanding and an example of what the satanic version of our existence is. They were constantly trying to stop Mary. Why? Because Mary was the vessel that brought the Savior into the world. Why is that a problem for Satan? Because Christ is going to crush Satan. Okay? So I can even tell by the look on your face. It's a little complicated.
It is.
It's a little complicated. And maybe I'm not doing as good a job of explaining it as I can. I hope the audience kind of gets where I'm going with it. Because the simplistic version is that we look at the Old Covenant, we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Ark of the Covenant is kind of the precursor to what Mary is. Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant because she brought Christ into the world.
Got that.
And then we look at the bigger picture of Mary, and that is that she is ultimately part of the plan of salvation for the world because she is kept from the claws of Satan when she's giving birth to our Savior by being whisked away and protected by God.
How long did she live?
I don't know what her age was. And I'm sure there's probably data that talks about that. I don't know.
How long after Christ?
For a good many years.
Crucifixion.
Oh no, for a good many years. I don't know what the number. It's not like it happened shortly thereafter. It was for a good many years. I just don't know that number. Okay. I'm sorry. I wish I did.
That's all right.
And it's interesting how we as Catholics view Mary. And then there's also that there's a big difference between how other Christians view Mary.
Yeah, I wanted to go there. Just let me just do a quick ID really really fast. Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Of course, as always, joined by the Director of Family Services of the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I'm Gary Byron. Okay, so I'm glad that you've... coincidentally, I'm glad that you went there because that was another question that I had. I know that in Catholicism, Mary is... praised. Mary is a holy individual, the mother of Jesus, you know, and she's worshipped. There's a prayer. I mean, Hail Mary. And it's not just a saying, folks, when a quarterback throws the Hail Mary into the end zone to see if anybody's going to catch it with 5 seconds remaining on the board. There's a prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Right. So before... But there's also religious, even born-again Christians who are devout in their belief in Christ, they don't honor Mary as Catholics do.
Yeah.
Can you discuss that a little bit? And then I got a little kind of a, wanted to bring in other religions into after.
It's interesting. For us, you know, people sometimes, and I don't want to go down any kind of like political things.
No, don't get political. But
no, but one of the things that I always found interesting is that there's been a criticism about the Catholic faith and talking about how, well, it's run by men and, you know, men are the guys that do. We're probably the most feminist organization that exists because we recognize that our salvation was almost totally dependent upon a woman who said yes to the angel. Okay? So here was this woman who said yes when it was presented to her that she would be the mother of God. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. I mean, you can't be placed on a higher pedestal than God placed this woman. I mean, the only one that came close is Jesus. And after that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay? So, but the beauty of I think the Catholic viewpoint of Mary is that we recognize her as the mother of God, as do all Christian faiths. But we take it one step further and recognize her as the great intercessor for us.
Intercessor.
And as an intercessor, someone who is your advocate. Okay? So when we pray the Hail Mary full of grace, when we pray the Magnificat, when we pray all of these prayers that are fully associated with Mary, We ask for her intercession to go to her son, Jesus, and ask for these prayers that we are asking her to help us with. Now, most Christians will say, well, I can pray to Jesus himself. You absolutely can, and we do too, because he is God. But, as you may recall, during the wedding, Feast of the Wedding of Cana, when the good wine had run out, and there was going to be great embarrassment to the couple that were having the feast, Mary said to Jesus, you got to do something about this. And he's like, woman, what business is this of mine? And she grabs hold of one of the waiters and says, do as he tells you. Well, Jesus can't refuse his mother. And that's the basis behind everything that we do when it comes to praying to Mary. We pray to Mary to ask her intercession to go before her son, who can refuse her nothing, and ask for these favors, gifts, prayers, whatever. So from our viewpoint, it's a very powerful advocate that we have in heaven for everything. Whereas the other Christian faiths rely more solely on the scriptural references, where Mary doesn't have that big of a role in scripture per se.
There are other religions, though, that are similar to the Catholic stance and position on Mary, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, Episcopalians are very close to Catholicism in terms of their viewpoints. Also very big on the honoring the Blessed Mother. Even Muslim faith. Hmm. All right, the Muslims recognize Jesus as a great prophet, and they recognize Mary as his mother and of being a woman of significance in the salvific story of humanity. So it's an interesting thing that, you know, a religion that's so far apart from where we are still looks at some of these things in a very similar manner. So yeah, there's some differences in the way Mary has been looked at by different Christian faiths, but I think we all agree that she was the mother of God. We as Catholics just put a little bit more emphasis on her ability to help us in our daily lives.
Sure.
I will tell you that every time I had a problem in my life, it was Mary I prayed to.
Really?
Always.
Why?
Because I just love Our Lady.
Is that what we shall be doing that? Or?
Well, to me, if it was me and I had the crown on my head, I'd be saying, yeah, because it always works. I mean, you know, and I'm talking about some really complicated issues that I've had to work through in my life. And I would pray to her and ask, and you know what? It's like all of a sudden she's sitting next to me. I mean, she's not, but it's like the answer just comes right to me. And it's in the middle of all this intense prayer to her. So to me, Mary is like a number one in my book, always has been, always will be. I mean, look at our logo. I mean, you know, I've done everything I can to honor her.
You know,
it's just really, really an amazing thing to have a devotion to Our Lady.
I've only got a few minutes left, Chris, and I just... it'd be remiss if I didn't ask you at least one closing question when it comes to Mary, just because tomorrow is such a significant day. It just seems like we underestimate her in our religion.
Yeah. Some do. I mean, you know what? It's like everything in life, right? We take things for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes that does happen.
I don't know if there are any other holidays. Really quickly, in a minute or something, or a minute or less.
Yeah. So I mean, we've talked about a few. I mentioned earlier the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, yeah, which is huge. It's on December 8th. And January 1st is always the celebration of the Solemnity of Mary, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's really the feast day of the Blessed Virgin Mary,
okay,
which is kind of a really great day. It's a day that we go to church. I think it's fantastic. And those are really the two main feast days, okay, within the Catholic calendar.
Before we wrap things up, we're in August here.
Yeah.
There are some DOL seminars scheduled, right?
There is. So there's a Dignity of Life seminar that's going to be held August 18th, and that's going to be at the chapel at Sacred Heart Cemetery in Meriden. And August 18th is a Wednesday, so it's at 5:30. Seating is limited, so please, if you are interested, go to ccacem.org and register online, or you can call our office at 203-780-8418. And that gives you a real good opportunity to help answer questions that you may have about all afterlife needs and pre-planning. Something that's really interesting to, you know, listen to,
sure,
and get some good information. And one of the other things I'd like to mention to you is that we do have a special running for the month of August.
I knew it.
Yeah. We were very fortunate to be able to do this. Anyone who purchases a single outside crypt will receive a $350 discount off the purchase price. And if you should purchase a tandem crypt, which is for two people, you'll receive a $700 discount off the purchase price. So again, just call our main number and ask for a family service advisor at a cemetery near you, and they will be able to help you with it. They're great people. They know what they're doing, and their main concern is not to sell you anything.
That's good.
That's true.
I can appreciate that calling and not being sold.
How important it is when I interview people.
Yeah.
If I get a sense that, you know, they're the slick kind of, and good for them if they are, for whatever business they're in, but they're not going to be with us. That's not how we work. We are educators. We come, we teach, and let people make good decisions.
That's great. That's how it should be. No pressure.
Right. You know? No pressure.
Makes me want to visit more often.
Well,
I know I'm not going to get pressured.
You're not going to get pressured. You also have someone you can rely on, you can talk to, and get straight answers, because nobody's going to try and push you any one way or another.
That phone number, by the way, is 1-800-505-0080. Again, it's toll-free, 1-800-505-0080. By the way, my friends, if you'd like to poke around the Catholic Cemeteries Association website, I always tell people, let's start there. Because it'll probably answer your questions, although it could also spark some new questions, but that's good. That's good, because then you can call the 800 number and set up a meeting. But check out their website first. It's www.ccacem.org. Once again, ccacem.org. And by the way, if you've got a question more or less pertaining to this show, maybe you want to have your question answered right here on these very airwaves. Now, again, this isn't the email address for the Catholic Cemeteries Association. This is the email to this particular radio show. Simply email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. And once again, their toll-free number is 1-800-505-0080. Again, 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, the Director of Family Services for the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I'm Gary Byron. Until next Saturday morning, have a good one, everybody. So long.